Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I'm just so thankful today that we're continuing on a journey we've embarked on a couple weeks ago about the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when you leave today, be sure to take one of these. This is kind of something we're going to be working with throughout the duration of this teaching time. It talks about, you know, being holy and the Holy Spirit and this type of thing. And you'll understand more about it as we get into it today. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. You'll get the responding verses on the screen. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time your stay here in fear. But with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 21 together, who through him believe in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I'm excited about the fact that there's an opportunity and there's even a possibility and a reality of us becoming holy people. And Lord, not holy as far as religion is concerned, but we want to be like you. We want to reflect your countenance of everything we do and everything we say. So Lord, today we have an opportunity to look at this from a whole different perspective. And I pray in the name of Jesus that Lord, the person that feels the least of a candidate to be holy, Lord, I pray that they would look beyond themselves to the place where Jesus has personified all this. And it's not a religion, Lord, it's a reality of our closeness of living in your presence. Holy Spirit, direct our conversation today, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Everybody said,
amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. Well, we talked about the advent of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get more into the detail about the whole idea of the expression of the Holy Spirit, of how he expressed himself through us. But I think the place would everyone would probably stumble, or most people would stumble on, is this whole idea, Holy Spirit. Well, holy, all of a sudden, is a scary thing. Because everyone says, I'm not holy. Let me tell you an experience I had yesterday. I went to breakfast with a friend. It was at a restaurant downtown, and I looked it up in one of those places. Oh, it's really a nice place to go. I won't give you the name of the restaurant, lest you bar me from the church ever again. Well, I walked into this place, and it's with a friend. I was a witness. I didn't do anything strange. But I walked in this place, and the lady greets us and this type of thing, and I looked at her T-shirt, and she has the F-bomb on there. Oh, yes, she does. And they're selling T-shirts with it on. I said, this is not good. And then, of course, my friend is there, and he's kind of looking, and we're kind of like, oh, dear, what do we do now? You know, we're kind of committed to this particular place. And I'm thinking, but the Holy Spirit came on me, and he says, this is right where you belong. I said, what? And then, of course, more people of that caliber came in. I don't want to be judgmental. But they fit in with never mind. So we sat down and we ordered our meal. And the Lord says, he says, I want you to just behave like you would any other restaurant. And you talk about me just like you would if you were in the most friendly place, as if you were in a Christian cafeteria. Oh, yes, I did. And there were people over to the right and to the left. They're like, And you know me, I can get loud. And I got kind of on purpose loud. I said, you know, and since Jesus has come in your life, yeah, he's made done some amazing things, and you're not the person you used to be. Yeah, you. And before you know it, all of a sudden, the fact of, I realized that it wasn't me, it's Jesus that's holy. Every place I go can be holy. Because Jesus and me, when I show up, I don't care if it's the worst place on town. It all of a sudden becomes a tabernacle of holiness where God has showed up and he changes the whole atmosphere. I will not be intimidated by the devil, by what he's doing, by what he's saying, or what he's wearing. Come on, work with me, people. When you folks just kind of go, oh, they're here, they're gonna, no, they ain't gonna take you nowhere. Holiness of the Spirit and our behavior seem to be constantly at odds, and that means holiness has very little to do with behavior, but everything to do with relationship. When the Lord says, be holy, when I read the scripture several months ago, and I knew I was going to get to talk about the Holy Spirit, but this is, you know, when I said, be holy, I said, folks aren't going to get it. He said, I'm going to help you get it first. Then you can share it with somebody else. Well, here's three things we'll talk about today. First of all, does the idea of being, the idea of you being thought of as holy challenge your faith? Someone says, oh, you're just so holy. Oh, no, I'm not holy. I just got all kind of, I got issues. I got things in my closet, you know, and this type of thing. I just, please don't talk to me as holy. I'm just not. We're going to talk about this, and it's not for the fact of you to become arrogant or pompous or think you're holier than or better than anyone else. But if God says you're holy, you're holy. Then we need to start measuring up to what he says about us. Number two, are you reticent to ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit because you feel unworthy? See, we haven't got to that particular phase of you personally applying this to your life. So you say, well, don't talk about that because, you know, I just can't even imagine myself ever, you know, the Holy Spirit ever being in my life to that degree where I, you know, even speak in tongues. Well, that's really way off the charts for me. But just the fact that I have that, hold on. God's about to do something. Number three, did you know that the greatest demonstration of the filling of the Holy Spirit is to love God and to love others beyond what you thought you would ever be capable of doing? The filling of the Holy Spirit is all about being overwhelmed with the love of God and going beyond where you could ever thought you could go. Wow. That's a whole different aspect of you being able to, you know, prophesy and speak in tongues, which I'm not against that. But if you're not loving folks when you're done, it ain't going to work. Because I tell you, I found some of the meanest folks in Pentecostal churches in my entire life. Oh, yes, I have. Mean as Joe Green. Oh, they're rough. Up there prophesying, they're all lost in the spirit, and you cut them off, you get, you know, get their favorite parking place. Jesus has left the room. You get ahead of them in the potluck line, and you take the last chicken wing, honey. Let me move on. Sanctification is truly another way of saying total surrender. Can we say amen?
Amen.
That's what sanctification means. It means set apart for Jesus. It's not a fact that I'm saved and I'm sanctified. So what? If you're not set apart, if you're still running on your own program, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a word. So let's get into this idea. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 4, and then 7 and 8. Here we go. Finally, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Well, let's stop there. Walking and pleasing God. And actually looking at it, it doesn't really seem like that's going to be too difficult, but read the next little pieces. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Going to the next part. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Now I'm gonna get down now. He's Lord says, he ain't talked about this for a while. Here I go. You're living wild and acting crazy and pretend like you don't know any better. The idea about sexual immorality, somebody says, oh, yeah, you know, you shouldn't do that type of thing. There's more to it than that. Do you realize when Jesus comes into your life, you have been bought with a price, and there's something about you that's different. And you just can't be hooking up with everybody. And God has set an agenda out there for this to be the right thing, but then all of a sudden, well, you know, I'm just human. Yeah, I know. That has nothing to do with it. Let me read a little bit further here. It says that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Have some respect for what God is doing in your life. Stop being two-faced about the way you live. Live according to the word of God. Then there's a couple other verses we just tagged on, verses 7 and 8. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. There's that word. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate that from the Holy Spirit. When you reject this, then you're rejecting the Holy Spirit. Oh my. In other words, you can't live two-faced. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about the challenges of that. But sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit in the life of every surrendered believer. We cannot make ourselves holy through willpower. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I want to find how many people have never been on a diet. Never been on a diet. You're an amazing person. And God bless you. You're in denial, but it's okay. But there's something about being on a diet. And you tell yourself, mm-mm, I ain't gonna have that. No, 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 no. I'll tell you what. And I'll tell you, and when you're on a diet, people who never offered you donuts before will buy you a whole dozen. Sit them on your desk. Well, am I talking the truth here? People that you know don't like you will offer to take you to dinner. Help us, Jesus. And willpower will do you no good. When we pursue a holy life, it brings us to freedom to be all that God has designed us to be. And the other piece of this is the work of the Holy Spirit will bring us into alignment with God's will. Back in the Thessalonians again, verses 5, verses 23 and 24. This is good. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. What does that mean? That we have incomplete sanctification, which simply means this: there's a part of you you're still holding on to. Right? Ever had your kids clean their room? It's all done except that it's not all done. Well, that pile over there, well, don't look at that one. Everything else is fine. And that's how we try to live our Christian life. Say, yeah, I got it all together with Jesus and this type of thing. I know there's a few things I need to do. Then, no, no, no. Let's go a little further, okay? Completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. That means when you yield to him, and you yield your members to him, he will do the things that you thought were impossible through you. But you know, it's all about surrender. Stop the struggle. Let him do what you thought was impossible. Well, we must not confuse holiness and spiritual disciplines. Here's the part that gets us in trouble, gets me in trouble. Spiritual disciplines and holiness are not the same thing, because some of you put the two together. So holiness is reading at least, you know, so many scriptures a day, and praying for so much time per day. That is what true holiness is. And you know something? You are absolutely 100% wrong. Because some of you will read scriptures and you'll read this particular thing. And if I asked you 30 minutes later, you couldn't tell me what book you were in. But you got it done. And when you prayed, it was nothing but an extension of the want list you had from yesterday. You added a few more things to it. Oh, come on. We will not discover the holiness of the Holy Spirit by prayers designed to get what we want based upon our pause and time to talk to the Lord. Say, I need to talk to Jesus about this. But it's not about really being holy. It's about you just kind of getting what you want. Well, what about this? The Holy Spirit will overwhelm us with his love and desire to remain in his presence throughout the day. I want to tell you something, that, and you may not think this is possible, but do you realize you can stay in the presence of the Lord all day long and still get your job done, and still be the best person on the sales force, and still have a right attitude. But there's just something about when you abide in his presence, his holiness is not some, like some misty fog. But it's his presence working through you, and he's navigating through you all the things that you really desire to do to show his love to every person you come in contact with. It's all about love. That's what the presence of God is about. Well, being open to the Holy Spirit will require us to allow him to redirect our plans, our thoughts, our behavior in a different way than we thought we would naturally have thought. Well, holiness will always run parallel with the will of God. Want to find out if whether you're holy or not? How adamant or how important is it for you to be in the will of God? Now, here's what I've heard people say. Well, I know I'm not supposed to be doing so-and-so, but Jesus knows my heart. That's a scary statement. When you tell me you know you're doing something you're not supposed to do, but Jesus knows your heart, I need to tell you that that's crazy. That's sick. That's disobedient. That's going against the truth. What's that saying? Is that's not important. How well do you respond to your children? Says, well, I know I should have done that to your children. But, you know, but I knew you'd forgive me, so I didn't do it. Well, things were different at our house. Because my children knew that would never fly. When you tell me I know, the conversation is over. Because I'm going to discipline you based upon what you knew and did not do. Can I get an amen, folks? You know, well, I'm going to leave that alone because I could get on a sidetrack. I'm going to stay focused. Well, the second thing is our actions and behavior can never be contradictory to the Word of God. Now, I think that's pretty plain and simple. When the Lord says don't, that is not a suggestion. Let me get to something that we all, I shouldn't say we all. Well, I'm going to include you. If you don't like it, opt out later. Lying. Oh, I don't lie. I just love the truth. But sometimes I just leave out information. But I'm not a liar. Do you know why they used to tell you, when they put you on the stand, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Because I'm sure they had the problem when they're taking oaths of people. Said, truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. Then it was hopefully to evoke a thought process in you. There's truth. But absence of some other part of the truth, it's not the whole truth. So therefore, it's lacking what the power of these. And nothing but the truth. When you add something to the truth, what have you done? You try to pollute reality of what God's trying to share with us. Well, moving forward, holiness is not a code of ethics, but rather our confidence in the Word of God being our constant, unwavering guide to life. Now, let's go back to the experience of Pentecost. Open the door to things that were thought to be impossible for man to experience. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. I love this. This is great. Okay. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, here's the problem that we have, last days. They were saying Jesus was coming back when I was a kid, right? You know, and they had me scared to death. Especially if I had done something really crazy. I think I got to get this credit because Jesus could come tonight. I'm going to... Can I help you with the last days thing? Because, I mean, there's various religious groups have given day or, you know, year predictions of when that's going to happen. I want you to put that away for a moment. The last days starts counting from the actual outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And last days is not just so much an open phrase, but you need to look at what's going to happen in that particular period of time and not focus on the time frame. Here's the way it goes. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know what that is? That's a promise from God. Your kids that you thought would never get their lives together, as you pray, as you believe God, God is going to bring those kids back into an alignment with Him, and you're going to see miraculous things happening in your family. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not going to give up on this. And I'm seeing things happening with my kids, and also with my extended family, you know, nieces and nephews and this type of thing. That's what God says is going to happen. And they're going to see visions and old men to dream dreams. That's me. Okay. Don't be laughing. At least I got something up there. You ain't got nothing up there. Help me, Jesus. Okay. And your men servants and my maidservants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. Here's the thing about it. It's not sectarian. It's not based upon male, female. It's based upon people who are willing and obedient to what God is doing. That's who's going to catch the Spirit of God. So don't just say, you know, I don't think they should really have Judy Brzezinski sharing like that because, you know, she's a woman and women aren't supposed to be teaching things like that of doctrine. What Bible have you been reading? There's an anointing on people that will surrender themselves to God. And He's not looking at male or female, nor bond nor free. Well, He's all pour my spirit on those, and they shall prophesy. And it shall come to pass in the last days that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ooh, that's the part that I love. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The people that you thought would never get saved. Your neighbor you don't even like. That you sent to hell and he didn't even know it. Holiness is a part of what was promised to be poured out on all those who would receive it. But what about this? When we call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, everything about the Holy Spirit is available. I want to talk to you people who've just recently come to Jesus. You say, well, is there a waiting time that you have to wait for the Holy Spirit to come into your life? Now, I need to give you two things that are very important. Doctrinally speaking, when you call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says this, your spirit and the Holy Spirit are united together and thereby you are born again. You do not get any more saved than that. No, so let's get that one established. However, when the Lord is talking about pouring out His Spirit, the relationship has been established, but the empowering of the Holy Spirit when He's poured out upon you is another area that's going to move you forward to really bring forth all the power of God in your life and people who are around you. So you say, well, you're talking about two different things. I am and then I'm not. There's only one Holy Spirit. Only one. You say, well, but you talked about new. No, it's the same Spirit. But in your yielding to the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to prophesy, you'll be able to speak in tongues, you'll be able to cast out demons and all this other type of thing because the Holy Spirit wants to use you in all those areas. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says this, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. Notice he says that first. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh, so whoa! That means you folks who are believers have power over the devil. You say, what? You know where that comes from? In the name of Jesus. You hear what I said? Not in your name, but in the name of Jesus. I dare you. Matter of fact, when was that? It's a restaurant. I got to go back to the restaurant. I got feisty. I start talking loud about Jesus. And this one lady looked at me with kind of disdain, like, who do you think you are? I wish she would have asked me. Because I would have told her, I'm a child of God. I love to talk about Jesus. I can be on a plane. I can be, and matter of fact, sometimes, just because, let you know I'm saved, I ride the max. Not because I have to, but God says, get on the max. There's somebody you need to talk to. And it never fails. There's always somebody there I get to talk to about Jesus. See, you folks don't pay no attention. You want to get there the quickest way. God said, take the max sometime. Well, that's another story, another sermon. Okay, all right, you ain't got it. First Peter, chapter 1, 13, 14. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And what does that mean? It means pull it together. That's what it means. And be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? What has Jesus revealed to you? I'm saved. No, that's good. But there's a revelation of Jesus that will be manifest through the way you live. And people will be drawn to you because of that. And that's a wonderful thing to look forward to. Sober-minded means to be careful not to allow your emotions to overrule the Spirit's influence. And emotions are wonderful things. But if you're being led by your emotions, your emotions and the Spirit are not, you know, synergetic. Obedience is the key to holiness when we allow the Holy Spirit to overrule our ungodly choices. Now, let me help you folks that are prone to backsliding. Every time before you backslid, the Holy Spirit warned you. Don't look at me confused. Just say amen. Because when you look at it, I know I shouldn't have done that. I know. And that's what the holiness is there to safeguard your life towards some issues that we get ourselves into. Let me get into Acts here for a little bit, and then we're going to finish up this little sheet that we gave you just a moment ago. Well, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Let's go back to the original, what had happened. Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, and as many as the Lord will call. That's kind of the crux of what happened at the end of the whole Pentecost experience on the day of Pentecost. But consider this. Our journey in holiness begins when we are totally obedient to the call of discipleship. Now, what does it mean to repent? Being, shall I say, remorseful and repenting are not the same things. You know what that means? Is, oh, what a mess I've made of my life. Does that mean I've repented? No. It means that I realize that I could have done things better. That's not repentance. Repentance is, God, to you, you've been giving me all these things, and I need to repent for everything I've done that's contradictory to what I know to be your will. For me, at this particular point, even without even knowing the scriptures, you're saying, I need to repent, saying, God, I'm sorry. And some of you, before you leave this place today, you need to repent. What repent means, it means to turn away from what you are doing that was wrong and turn to that which is right. Repent is to declare, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. By the faith in God, I'm changing my life. Well, repentance is total acknowledgement and agreement with the Holy Spirit that everything he reveals to you to be sin, and we are willing to repent of it and forsake it. Ever try to debate with God? Or have you heard something? Well, it's really not that bad. Or it's not as bad as what she does. Ever try to repent on the basis of what somebody else does or doesn't do? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's your spirit. Let me take you one step further than that. Water baptism, he says, and he took it away. Bring it back. There you go. Repent in the midst of your sins, and you shall so, and for everyone who promised to you, to your children, and all your children. He says, but the part he says, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the part I want to get. I'm going to say this once and for all for you stiff-necked, unbaptized, uncircumcised Philistines. Hear me now. Repent and be baptized. You know, I'm just not feeling that in my spirit. I don't think that's necessary. I think Jesus knows I'm sorry. I think that's just a ritual. If it's a ritual, why did Jesus get baptized? And you better than Jesus? Oh, I need to help you right now. Get over your stiff-necked, hard-hearted spirit and be baptized. Because you know what it is? It's a demonstration to us, to you, that your old life is going down into the grave. And your new life, you're coming up a brand new person. You've been renewed. You've been restored. You've been revived. I dare you not to get baptized. But I still love Jesus. You love you. Because if there's nothing that's hindering you from getting baptized, I'm going to tell you up front, get baptized. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Good. And you can sign up at the Welcome Center on your way out. I ain't playing with you. I'm not playing with you. I'm serious. I won't say, I used to say serious, a heart attack, but that became too close. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and gives us access to everything that will make us more like Jesus. The conclusive evidence of the holiness of God in our lives, get this, is love. What? Everything. 1 Corinthians 13, we thought was a lovely part of Scripture that should be read at weddings. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding gong, a clanging cymbal. And it goes on and on and on, this other type of thing. He says, oh, that's so beautiful. And you just get real holy. Will you get over it? Because it's not that emotional, goo-goggly type stuff. It's the idea and the concept that we will love everything that God loves. And the Bible said, God so loved the world. Or how about this? We will find no difference between our love for ourselves and anyone else in the world that God will allow us to have contact with. All of us. There's not a person in this room that hasn't experienced this. You'll see people in a homeless state, in front of grocery stores, on street corners, you know, lying in the streets, whatever it happens to be. And I'm going to rebuke you. Watch me. If you're saying, oh, how disgusting they are. Because you know what? God loves them. You don't know their story. And I hope I can infuse to you today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, love like you've never known it before. Because that is the first quality of the Holy Spirit of being actually, you know, being filled with the Spirit is we're filled with God's love for everybody. Does that mean you have to empty your wallet for everybody? Absolutely not. But you'll never be at that particular place where you're having disparaging things to say about them. Well, we will want to be more like Jesus in every way. Our sincere devotion to God will turn us away from sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19, 20. This is good. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Let me stop at that. You're not your own. Everyone has struggles. I do too. And one of the hardest things for me to do is to realize at various times, you know, I'm not my own. I don't get to do all the things that I like to do or not do the things I don't like to do. Now, I know maybe you don't struggle like that. You've got that thing down. But there are times in my life I just struggle to say, you know, I'm just not feeling that. And Jesus will say to me, he says, I'm not asking you what you feel. I'm asking you what you should do. If you're being living by your feelings or what you really prefer, there's going to be problems. Quickly. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit. He separated those for a moment. Our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. We surrender our body to be used by the Holy Spirit. We are not our own. We cannot live our life any way we want to. To be holy is characterized by devotion to Jesus and willing separation from everything that is not like God. Before we leave this auditorium today, everyone will have the same opportunity. Maybe there'll be some who won't take it, but everyone will have the same opportunity to draw close to Jesus and to enter into a holy contract with him, allowing his holiness to be manifest through them. We can live in this world without succumbing to the things in it. I don't know how you know, some people are synced up with the internet, but there's a lot of issues and this type of thing. Don't blame the internet. You're the one that logged on. Is that right? Oh, all this stuff on you? Honey, you use your log on, okay? Log off. Simple enough. I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm moving on. Because it'll marinate later on. When we can live a life free from sexual indulgences, greed, and hatred, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. The deepest desire of the Spirit is for us to love God and to love others. And of course, our true devotion to God will turn us away from sin. Holiness becomes visible when we openly love Jesus without regret or embarrassment. That's the last little place I'm going to take you before we get into this list of things. My experience, like I said, I've told you a little bit about my background, is that for a long time, even though I was Pentecostal, holiness, this type of thing, I was embarrassed to be that way. I was embarrassed to tell my friends that I went to church or that I, you know, that I prayed or anything associated with the Holy Spirit, because I wanted to fit in. So some people I just wouldn't tell them. Or they people would say, well, you know, they'd be talking about, you know, Christian people. I wouldn't, you know, shall I say, jump to the defense of those people who were like that. I'm talking about me, not about you. If I can accomplish one thing, the Holy Spirit can accomplish one thing today, it'd be this. To take you out of that particular realm where you're embarrassed about anything that Jesus has done or will do. Some of you would grab your bosom if your boss walked down the aisle and saw you in this place of people where they're just doing all this other stuff, and they saw Shantae just marching around the stage and militantly declaring these type of things. Oh, Shantae, come on, cool it, girl, cool it, cool it, cool it. My boss won't get it. Is that where you are? You're more concerned about other people Well, the foundation of holiness will be demonstrated when Jesus forgave all those who were against him on the cross. That's the foundation of holiness. When you forgive all those people who are against you, who mock you, who make fun of you, and you're still willing to die for them. How about this? When we choose to allow the Holy Spirit to be our defense and hold our peace, when we will discover the power of holiness. You have to defend yourself. Or when we joyfully choose to walk away from the things that are ungodly, here's the part, without regret. I've captured someone's mind at this point. And I hope this will be what will free you to respond to Jesus today. Some of you have been held hostage by people's opinions of you, of the lifestyle you have as a believer, and what they say means more to you than what Jesus has told you to do. And today that needs to stop. And you need to choose today who you're going to serve. Well, when we joyfully choose to walk away from the things that are ungodly without regret, we will discover the grace that only a holiness can demonstrate through our surrender. Why don't you pick up that little thing that you got walked in. Defining moments, Holy Spirit. If you didn't get one, the ushers will rush down and give you one real quickly. We're just going to talk about two, maybe three of them. But it says this, in order to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, we must believe that we are holy as we live our lives in obedience to his word. And then it says this. The first one says, I'm holy if I. Everybody stand your feet right now. Because I want you to read what it says on that card. I want you to read it out loud. I want so the devil can hear it. And you're going to declare it. So I'm holy if I walk. Read that in the other parts where it says, I say. How many believe that you can walk in the Spirit? Put your hands down. How many of you have never done that before? Lift your hands. You've never done it. It's okay. That's okay. Because you're the candidates that are going to get an opportunity to do that before we leave. Let's go to number two. We're going to read it real quickly out loud. It says, I believe. Now read the scripture. How many of you believe God loves you? How many of you believe he gave himself up for you? Then that's where you stand right now. That's the reason, that's how you can be holy. Worship team, come back up here. We're going to read this last. We're going to just read the third one. We're not going to go any further. We got some more we'll pick up next week. Number three. Okay. All right. Come on, give the Lord a big hand right for that. As we close this morning, two things need to happen, probably three. You stiff-necked folks about not getting baptized, you're going to repent of that. But the Holy Spirit brought to me strongholds. And some of you say, what is a stronghold? It's something that holds on to you and keeps you from being all that Jesus wants you to be. And I don't have to spell it out for you. You know right now what that is. I need to ask you a question. Are you willing to let go of that receive deliverance from that so the Holy Spirit can really sanctify you to be the holy person you want to be. You get to choose. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Before I say anything further, I want to say this. In the name of Jesus, I cast out every spirit contrary to Jesus. That this room is filled with His presence. His anointing is over and covering every life that's in this place. And people who have struggled for a long time today are going to be set free. I want you to listen to my prayer because it's a prayer of deliverance for some. Jesus brought you here today, not to hear another sermon, but that you could actually find out there's an opportunity for you to be holy. And I'm not talking about holiness a cult, but that's being able to abide in the love and the presence of God. That there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if you're tired of walking in the flesh, this message is for you, and this prayer is for you. I'm going to pray, and at the end of my prayer, the Holy Spirit will say, today is your day to respond to me. I don't care who you think you are, where you think you fit on the scale of relationship to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will tell you to come. I dare you to stay in your seat. In the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every other name, I bind every contrary spirit. I bind every spirit that kept people captive in that place where they thought they could never be free to operate in holiness. I bind every spirit of the flesh, of sexual temptation, of diversion away from things, of addiction, of all the different things that have kept people away from really fully submitting. I come against it in the name of Jesus. And I say, be set free in Jesus' name. I come against every rebellious spirit that says, I'll do it my own way. And Lord, you've told them today, it's not going to be your way, it's going to be my way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Accept your freedom today to walk in a spirit of holiness that only God can give. If that's you, I should say not if, the sense that you, I want you to start walking to this altar right now. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name. Don't you wait for somebody else to come. You come. That's right. Come on in Jesus' name. That's right. Come now in Jesus' name. Come now in Jesus' name. Come now in Jesus' name. Come now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.